Okay, we're on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the top. We're asking about the text of the first blessing, Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech. And why do we use such a negative term, Choshech, when we could use a word Noga, which is a nicer term than that? So the Gemara answered, we have to go with the language of the prophet who said Yotze Or Uvorei Choshech. However, we asked after that, it says Ose Shalom Uvorei Ra. So it says, well, no, we don't want to say Ra, that's a really bad word. So we say Yotzer HaKol. So then the Gemara comes up, so why didn't you say a nicer term of Noga? So therefore, Gemara concludes and says the reason we do Yotzer HaKol is, as we have up there, Kedei LaHasker Midas Yom BaLaila UMidas Laila BaYom, to mention the attribute of day in the night and the attribute of night in the day. In other words, so people will not think that the God of the day is not the God of the night, and the God of the night is not the God of the day. So we make it very clear that it's Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech. That is what the prophet said, and that is, he himself is underscoring that God is the God of the day and the God of the night. However, we're taking the next clause of Oser Shalom Uvorei. We don't have to say Borei Sarah, no need to say Borei Sarah. So you use a better language where you can, but you have to do a more definitive language to describe the God of day as the God of night. And that's why we have that expression.
Ra, so that's all.
What?
Ra is the opposite of Shalom?
No, it's just a bad word. It's a negative word. Borei Ra. Why say Borei Ra? You know, if the Navi said it when he's castigating the Jews is one thing, but when we sing it tefillah, we say a nicer expression. But
they don't also say that Ra is explicitly negative, bad. But Laila has a connotation related to being, you know, evil happens at night, and such, but it's not as explicit as the word Ra.
Yeah, that's
so
also true.
Live with Laila.
That's also true. We have to, you know, be as clear as we can that the God of the day is the God of the night. So that's all good in the morning. Sanah Gemara says, Bish Lema Midas Laila Bayom. Okay, I understand where you've put in the attribute of night in the day. Good. Kid Arminah, like you just said. Yotzeor Uvarei Choshech. Ay, Ela Midas Yom Balaila Hechosho. But where do we find the attribute of night in the day, attribute of day in the night? By the nighttime bracha that we say after the Borchu. Where do you have that? So Gemara answers, let's look at the Siddur. Amar Abaye, Golel Or Mipnei Choshech, V'Choshech Mipnei Or, the one who removes light from before darkness, and darkness from before light. So clearly there you have the daytime characteristic mentioned at night. Okay, fine. So that's the first, so remember we said there's two brachas before the Shema. Now we want to know the Idach Mai. So we've discussed the first bracha in the morning before the Shema, first bracha in the night before the Shema. And what's the second blessing that precedes the Shema? Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, we start with the words Avarabba, with an abundant love, as we have in our second bracha, the Shema.
What, so that's daytime?
Let's see. Didn't say anything yet. V'chein ore li Rabbi Lozer l'Rav Pedas Brei. And so did Rabbi Lozer rule for his son, Pedas. Ava Rabba. The second blessing begins with an abundant love. Tanya Nami Hach. We have a brisa that says the same thing. Ein omrim ava solom. We don't say eternal love in the second blessing. El Ava Rabba, but Ava Rabba. So we got three positions all saying Ava Rabba. For Rabbanan Amri, however, the rabbis dissent, and they say Avas Olam, with eternal love. Okay, now, again, the rabbis all dispute the wording of the first phrase. Regarding every other aspect of the blessing, however, there is no dispute. Okay, so how do we open it up? V'cheinu Omer, and similarly you have a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Va'avas olam havdicha al kein mishachtich chosed. And with an eternal love I have loved you, therefore I have drawn unto you with kindness. So therefore they're saying avas olam, because they have a phrase from the Navi. Okay. So I have a machlokes in that. All right. So that's where you have Ashkenaz does Ava Rabba in the morning and Ava Solem at night.
How does Rabba, well, Ava Rabba,
what?
How does Ava Rabba say daytime or nighttime?
We don't have to say daytime or nighttime. We only had to do that for the first bracha. The first bracha is discussing God's the attribute of God that He provides resources for us. Okay, the second bracha is focused on Hashem loving us. So that you don't have to mention day or night in the second bracha. There's two different points. If you look carefully in the Shema, you have to love Hashem with all your heart, all your soul, and all your resources. So before Hashem, the reason why we have these three brachas, two before and one afterwards, is because if Hashem is expecting us to love us with all our heart, with all our resources, with all our soul, with all our energy, be a good idea for Hashem to show that He loves us that way as well. So that's what these brachas before and after are talking about, where you see that Hashem is Yotzer HaVerech Hoshech, Hashem is control of the whole world, and look at all the resources that Hashem lets us use. That's what that first bracha is all about. Hashem gives us infinite resources.
Galaxies.
So if Hashem is giving, and of all those resources, He's focusing on giving it to us. After first bracha, saying, wow, look how amazing Hashem is. The angels are praising Him, this and that. Look at all the resources that Hashem brings into the world. And then the next bracha says how much He loves us. Okay, we're not up to the bracha afterwards, but you see two out of the three. So if you see that Hashem gives us so many resources, then we should love Him with our resources. We should serve Him with our resources, right? But also it says we have to love Him. So where should I love Him? So you see Hashem loves us. So those are the, that comes before even Hashem's asking us to do anything. Okay, so now we see there's another aspect of Avas Olam. And what is that? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says regarding this second bracha in the morning, Hishkim Lishnos, a person wants to get up in the morning and to study Torah, supposed to make a bracha on the Torah before you can start learning Torah. So, Achelo Kora Kriyashma. What if he has not yet read the Kriyashma and he wants to learn before davening? Then Tzarech Levarach. You have to make the bracha on the Torah, as we'll see later on. The Gemara is going to discuss the brachas we make on the learning of Torah. However, Meshekara Kriyashma. What if he already has said the Shema and all the brachas first? Then, very interestingly, Ein Tzarech Levarach. You don't have to make the bracha on the Torah anymore. Why is that? Shekvar Niftar Be'Ava Rabba. Because you've already exempted yourself of needing to make the bracha through the bracha of Ava Rabba. Why is that? Because let's see what it says in this bracha that we just said about 45 minutes ago. With an abundant love, it contains the words, and this is the same Belibenu instill in our hearts. Lil Moda Lalamed Lishmar Velasus Lakayim is called Divrei Salmaturis Erbiava. Still hearts to learn, to teach, to safeguard, to perform, to fulfill all the words in the teaching of your Torah. And then we say, V'talam deim chu gevur tzenecha, you taught them the decrees of your will. Right? So therefore, it's essentially saying basically what the brachas of the Torah, the brachas of Torah is saying.
Both brachas, you don't say?
It's giving you enough bracha to say. Again, you looking at this Gemara from the fact you already have in your Siddur all these brachas. Right. So you can't learn Gemara that way, because Gemara was done even before the Siddur was made. Right? So the idea is, to make a bracha on the Torah. The details of that, that's another issue. But you clearly are making a request from Hashem that he should give us the ability to learn, to teach, to safeguard, blah, 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 all these things. So therefore, you've already kind of recognized the gift that Hashem has given us, the gift of learning Torah. So Lechora, if you would say that, that would exempt you from that. So you're going to say, so why do we do it otherwise? We'll have to see in a minute. But that technically could excuse you. You'd have to have kavana for that. And then you'd have to do some other things. You'd have to be learning Torah right afterwards, which otherwise it's a bracha of atala. That's why what we do is, now that we've got this whole tefillah, we got all these psukim we read, we do berachas haTorah right in the beginning, and then we start saying a few paragraphs, which is actual learning of Torah to fulfill that mitzvah. And any psukim that we're going to read is also part of that as well. So we kind of cover our bases with that, and that gets us out of any difficulties. But technically, if you said Ava Rabba, and then you'd learn right after davening, then you would not have to make a berachas haTorah, technically.
Shema is also a safety. For some reason, you zoned out in the morning. You didn't say the bracha on the Torah. We said that before you said your Shmoneh Esrei.
Yeah, again, Shmoneh Esrei is not learning Torah. There's learning Torah and praying. Those are two separate things. You don't make a bracha for learning Torah if you want to daven. There's no bracha you make on davening. The davening is full of brachas. You have to make a bracha before you learn Torah. That's a bracha before you learn Torah. So he's just saying that the words of Ava Rabba express the same concept as if the bracha of the Torah, though it's not direct, but it would be the Eved, it would work if you had no other way of doing it. But obviously, we don't practice it that way, and we have separate bracha of the Torah for that as well. Now, when do you need to make the Berachas haTorah? For what kind of learning do you have to make the Berachas haTorah? The Gemara has a debate. Okay, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Lemikra, if you're going to be reading Psukim right out of, you're learning Chumash, text, Tzarech Levarach, you need to make a Bracha, because that's Torah. You need to make a Bracha before you learn Torah. But Lemedrash, for the Medrash, you don't have to make a Bracha on that. So what does that mean? The Medrash is how the rabbis explain the verses. Okay? And look at the verse and explain. So there's different Midrashim. As you see, there's something called the Sifra on Vayikra, the Sifri on Bamidbor and Dvorim, Mechilta and Shmos. So Rav Huna holds that if you're only studying the written text, you're obliged for the Brachas. So if you're learning Medrash, you don't. Now, from Rashi, it's clear that the midrash discussed here is the midrash that deals with the halachic exposition of the verse, not what we call midrash, the stories. So this is the halachas that are derived from that. You don't have to make a bracha.
The oral Torah?
Well, obviously, it's. Well, let's keep reading. Rabbi Lazar Amar, Rabbi Lazar disagrees, and he says, L'mikra u'lamidrash, Tzarech Levarach. You have to make a bracha on the text and on the midrash. Because since the study of the midrash involves explaining the psukim, so that's just about the same thing as learning Chumash. Therefore, although it's not part of the written Torah, you still have to make a bracha on that. But l'mishnei Tzarech Levarach. But for learning Mish, you don't have to make a bracha. And because he holds, you don't make a bracha on the oral law at all. He only accepts by the midrash because it's dealing directly out of the text. The midrash looks at the text, analyzes the text, and tells you what the text means. That's not what Mishnah does. Mishnah is the oral law. It's just giving you the laws that come out from that. So it's not directly connected to the text. So you don't make a bracha on that. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no. Afla Mishnah Nami Tzarech Levarach. You have to make a bracha even on Mishnah, because he also make a bracha on the oral law. Aval Talmud ain't Tzarech Levarach. But the Talmud, which is going one step further away, giving you the reasonings of the Mishnah and resolving contradictions, you don't make a bracha on that. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that such study does not require preface or blessings. By nature, the Talmud is explanatory rather than the body of the law. The Mishnah does require the bracha. For Rav Amar, and we come to the final conclusion, Afla Talmud Tzarech, Lach, so even for the Talmud, you got to say the bracha, because after all, the Talmud represents the very essence of the Torah. Through only if you learn the Talmud can you understand anything else. Without the Talmud, we'd never have a total understanding of the Torah, not understanding of the Mishnah. We wouldn't understand anything. So let's see what Rav Hirsch has to say. Rav Hirsch explains the dispute as follows. Scripture is the word of God, both in content and in language. We therefore recite the blessing of the Torah over it. Midrash, however, is the word of God in its content, but not in its language. For this reason, Rav Huna's opinion that its study does not require the blessing for Torah. Lazar maintains that since Midrash expounds the meaning of Scripture's words, it too should be treated as Scripture in this manner. Yochanan argues that Mishnah too requires a blessing since it embodies oral law, which is the word of God, even if its wording is not the exact wording received by Moshe at Sinai. The Talmud offers mainly explanation, the rationale of the Mishnah's laws, and doesn't require it. Rava states that since one cannot truly understand the law of the Mishnah without the Talmud, it's in effect also the word of God in its content. And that is obviously how we hold. All right?
That's when this is done.
You're all free.
Yeah, on everything. Everything is Torah. Everything that has something to do with eventually gets itself back to what the Word of God is, gets you on that. If you're only reading a biography of the Chafetz Chaim, then you would not make a bracha on the Torah, for example. And Rav approves this. Da'amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi says, Zimnin Sagin, on many occasions, have a Kamina Kamina Rav. I was standing before Rav. To learn the chapter of the Sifra, that's that midrash in Rav's yeshiva, and have a matim v'kav mashida. He'd get up, he'd wash his hands, ubarich, and make a bracha on the Torah. Umasam pirkan would teach us these midrashim, right? So that's the proof. There's a little bit of a problem with that proof, right? Because it was stated above that Sifra is part of the Midrash, it's not part of the Talmud. So Rav proves from Rav's action that even when studying Talmud has to make the bracha, but the case he brought was only Midrash. That case of Rav was he was teaching Midrash and nothing more than that. So what kind of proof of this? This is because the practice in Rav's academy was not simply to recite Sifra by rote, but rather to strive to understand the reasoning underlying the Midrashic rulings and to resolve the contradictions that would arise between the various rulings. This sort of analysis of the Midrashic exposition always falls under the rubric of Talmud. In other words, they weren't just learning that Midrash, they were trying to resolve issues in the Midrash, and therefore it was like Talmud, therefore he made the bracha on that. Okay, now that we have talked about the bracha of the Torah, so now we want to know, what are the brachas of the Torah? My Mavarach, what are the brachas of Torah that we have to say? Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel says, Asher ki rishonu mitzvasav etzivanu la'asok bedivrei Torah. Hashem has commanded us to involve ourselves in the words of Torah. That is Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan Messiah Bahakhi, Rabbi Yochanan would conclude that with a little bit more. So that, why? So it not only begin with a bracha, but end with a bracha. And that is, he continues, Harevna Hashem Elokeinu Tifrei Sarascha Bafino, make sweet Hashem our God the words of your Torah in our mouths. So therefore we're going to want to love to learn Torah. Ophias Amcha Israel, in the mouths of your house of Israel. V'ni Anachna, we should be V'tzetzo Einu, and our descendants V'tzetzo Ei Amcha Israel, and the descendants of Jewish people, Kulana Yodei Shemecha, will all know your name. V'oske Sarasech, and engage in learning Torah. Okay, there's different, you know, textual differences because we say Lishma. Baruch Ato Hashem, Amalei Torah, Emo Yisrael. Bless you, God, who teaches Torah to your nation, Israel. Now, interesting. Rashi and Tosfos dismiss the variant reading that ends this blessing with Baruch Ato Hashem, Lam Dei Mechech. Obviously, we don't have that one over there. We don't have this at all. All right, I don't have to deal with that. That's two. So Rav Hamuna Amar, Rav Huna had a different bracha. Asher b'charbanu mikolmim naslanos Torah so. Baruch Ata Hashem nosena Torah. Those are the three brachas. So Amar Rav Hamuna, and regarding the last statement, he said, Zuhi me'ula sheba brachas. This is the best of the blessing. It's therefore to be chosen, and that's why we read it when we read from the Torah. Why is it the best one? Because it has both thanks to God and the praise of the Jewish people and the Torah. Now the Gemara concludes, and this is how we rule. Hilkach, therefore, lemrenino lechulho. We say all three of the blessings before we are going to study. Okay, so according to Gemara's conclusion, one must recite both of these blessings before studying Torah. So one blessing corresponds to the written Torah, and the other to the oral Torah. Okay, therefore, in the morning we recite several psukim and certain parts of the oral Torah. So therefore, we're getting also. Some say it's three blessings. It's a huge argument over here. I don't know. Did we skip note 22? What was 22?
It seems like Rava washed before every time learning. Is that what was the minhag there?
Well, he washed to get up in the morning.
He washed.
Anyway, so it's really three parts to this bracha. One clearly is on the oral law. One is on the written law. And there's the middle one is, you know, that Hashem, we're asking Hashem that the learning should be pleasurable, which is a very important part, because a lot of people don't like learning. Learning is not easy. So we ask that to be pleasurable. It's a big machlokas if the first two halves are one long bracha, or is it two separate brachas? Remember, you say, Baruch Hashem Malchum, Shir Kishon Hashem, Lasok B'divrei Sorah. Now, there's some who have a vav, V'harevna, and make it sweet, blah, 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 Baruch Hashem Malchum, Leitor Yisrael. So, some say it's two separate brachas. Some say it's one long bracha. It could be two separate brachas, you know, where it's two ideas, that you commanded us to engage and study the Torah, and then there's a blessing, that's a request. We ask Hashem that the Torah should be sweet and the Torah should remain with us as a people. Others say it's one bracha. Therefore, we don't consider it as two separate brachas, and that's why Shavuos morning, when somebody reads the Birchas HaTorah, we don't say Amen after the first part of that bracha. And that, you know, you don't say Amen. We just roll into Varevna Hashem Elokeinu Divrei Sorasecha. So that's part of that mitzvah. Part of the mitzvah of learning Torah is to enjoy learning Torah. The famous statement of Sukkot Shavuot Rebbe, where they ask the Sukkot Shavuot Rebbe, the person says to him, I don't know, I'm not learning Torah Lishma. I don't think I'm learning Torah for the sake of learning Torah, because I enjoy it so much. It's taking away from the fact that I'm doing the mitzvah for the sake of the mitzvah. To which he responded, and he said, that is how you fulfill the mitzvah. If you don't enjoy your learning the Torah, you haven't really fulfilled the mitzvah. Because the only way to really learn Torah is through enjoying it. Because if you're not enjoying it, you're not going to remember it. It's not going to feel as relevant to you. And that is, the more you enjoy the learning, the better the learning is, and the more you fulfill the mitzvah.
But there's a fine line, because there are certain individuals, apparently, who are just doing it because they enjoy it. They like the brain exercise.
Okay, so they're not fulfilling the mitzvah properly.
That's right.
But if there are those who say, the main thing is that you're learning the Torah because it's a mitzvah that God asks you to do, and to understand Hashem. That's what the mitzvah of learning, that gets you close to Hashem.
There's people who learn but don't do. Remember that there's a whole thing about, do you learn and do, or do and learn?
Yeah. If you're not doing, then you're not learning it to get close to Hashem.
Right.
You know, it's no different than a person studies, is fascinated by the books of Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, and he understands it clearly, how women are different than men. He's married and abuses his wife.
Yeah.
So he read the book because it's an interesting book, but he didn't learn it to employ what the message of the book is.
Yeah.
So you're learning Torah to understand the will of Hashem, because obviously you know what the will of Hashem is. You want to do what Hashem wants you to do. And therefore, just like women, it's not always easy to understand the will of women. It's not easy to understand the will of Hashem, because it's very complicated. Hashem is a very complex being, so it takes a lot of effort to understand the will of Hashem. If you don't enjoy learning, then it's going to be hard to totally get yourself into it. So part of the learning is you want to be able to enjoy it, so you'll be able to feel more connected to the learning and then motivate you more to do what it says. You're right. People just learn it for the sake of learning. It's not really accomplishing the task at hand.
And why is remembering so important? Why is that so crucial? If you enjoy it, you remember.
Who said remembering?
said earlier.
Where does it say remember?
I think he was talking between the lines when he said that.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
It came from you. You were talking between the lines when he said that. If you enjoy learning, you remember it more.
I'm just saying, he's going to assimilate the information more. It's going to stay with you, that's all. But if it doesn't, that's still you've still fulfilled the mitzvah. If you're learning Torah and you forget it,
you're still enjoying it, and you forget it because it goes one in the ear. But it's a good question, because is the enjoyment so you would remember, or is it enjoyment because you're just pleasant and you're learning, because you don't retain it? You know, some people got brains in and out.
If you don't enjoy whatever you're doing, it's never going to be relevant to you. It's like davening. Most people don't enjoy davening. So I'm saying if you want to understand what you're learning, if you enjoy it, you'll understand it. The learning will be a better quality of learning. Yeah. Then there's different aspects of what a better quality of learning means. Number one, you really understand what it's talking about, as opposed to not even understanding what you're reading. Then there's, obviously the more you understand it, the better chance you could remember it. Yeah. And then you'll apply it. Right, so at the end of the day, it's all about application. Okay, so there's a certain amount you can remember that you can apply, and a certain degree, if you don't remember everything, you know, you still can apply it. And you try your best. You try your best. There's different, many levels of learning Torah. You're learning Torah, and you're trying your best, and you're enjoying it, that you get rewarded for that. Now, obviously, you don't remember it, you don't review it, that's not so good.
You're punished for forgetting your Torah.
Really?
I'm asking. It's a question.
You get punished if you forget your Torah out of laziness.
Yeah. If you enjoy it,
if you don't review it, you just learn it. You don't remember anything, and you don't care that you don't remember anything. There's a lot of people who are just trying to remember, and they go it over, and they still can't remember. Okay, that's a different story. It's no different than anything else in life. You have a job, and they train you how to do something. You got to remember what they trained you. No. You know, like, let's say you're working on a computer. You're working on a computer. I will admit, as much as I'm on a computer, I'm sure I know maybe less than 10% of what I could do with that computer. I mean, there's so many things you could do. Even when I'm making PowerPoint presentations, my daughter's saying, well, you know, you can make it that the stuff comes one at a time in the thing. I said, that's way beyond, I don't know how to do that. That's going to be, it's enough I can just make the PowerPoint, and I know how to, but you got to remember, you know, what's that thing that's for the text box? And you look over it, no, it's not over there. It's over there. I remember now. It's over there. That's how you can get a text box.
It's not you, Rabbi. It's a badly designed interface.
When they train you, you got to remember. Because what every day you come back and say, oh, I don't know how to do this.
Right.
So that's how much you use it. So the thing with Torah is, you know, there's so much Torah to learn. It's way more than what they train you at work to know X amount of things. And you just keep doing the same thing over and over. With Torah, so much more. So, yeah, you will forget some. So the question is, as long as it's like this. If you learned, let's say you learned in high school, Torah, and now you just don't learn anymore. For the next 40 years, you don't learn Torah. Well, if you forget it, then you're going to be faulted for it. There's an obvious reason why you forgot it. You stopped learning. Right? But if you're learning, and it's a big Torah, there's 2,711 blot. And even if I've gone over brachas three times, I still can't remember it. Okay, that's a different story. But so that's part of that.
I remembered yesterday because when I was doing the Shema this morning, I looked around and I said, I'm the only one doing the way Beis Shammai said.
Well, you were lying down?
I was standing.
Not the way Beis Shammai.
Oh, the daytime standing down.
Not Kumech. At night or in the day? In the day. In the day.
Yeah, this morning.
Yeah, right.
You were the chazan.
But it really is Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel said you could say it anyway, and you were already standing. You already were standing.
Somebody said you're supposed to stand, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's the point.
Thinking of that.
Those are the three brachas, and obviously that middle bracha is really an important bracha. You have to have kavanah. You have to Hashem make the learning sweet. Because obviously it's not always sweet. So yeah, you know, if you daven to Hashem, He'll help you to make it sweet.
What's sweet is when you get something. That's the reward.
When you enjoy, you're more likely to ask a question, which even brings better understanding.
You know, but it's different levels of enjoying. You know, let's say a person enjoys watching a sporting event, right? I don't know how much you have to chop. But there's
you understand when you do the Rambam and you understand what he was, you know, why this is okay and that's not, or, you know what I mean?
Part of it. And part of it is just enjoying that you're hearing more of what Hashem's wisdom is, right?
Hashem gets happy.
And sometimes even if you don't understand it, you're happy. You could be happy that you hear it, but it's a very difficult concept to really love learning. It's not an easy concept, and something for a deeper discussion for another time. Okay, let's I think it's better to stop because we're at the two dots, and the next is a new sugya, so we're not going to really get any further than that. Okay, we'll stop it over here. Shkoyach, everybody.